It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee, Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Parker, what's going on? How was your weekend?
What's up, Jake? I woke up this morning, and I kid you not, I heard something that sounded like hoofbeats off in the distance. And I think that is football season.
Hey, it is game week.
Close.
It is game week here in Nashville for the first time since early January. The Titans have a game coming up 3 days from now in Santa Clara, taking on the 49ers in a joint practice tomorrow. I believe it's noon. Our time is when it gets going, so we won't be on the air during the practice, you know, being on the West Coast Pacific time, but we will have all the reaction to that, and I am excited to see what that looks like. Even with the substation looming over everything that's going to go on tomorrow in Santa Clara, I heard Robbie and Joe talking about it. You just got to hope and pray that there's no injuries tomorrow, because you know that that is the only thing people are going to talk about is the substation playing its part once again. The Niners with all their injuries. If a Titans player gets hurt, we're never going to hear the end of it.
So are you buying into that theory? Because I heard him talking about it on Weekend Huddle over the weekend. And I think Brandon and Nick both were buying into it. I'm not sure if I can get that far. Robert Saleh said on Friday that he thinks it's overblown, but I expect him to say that.
Right. Like, I'm not like fully buying in on the conspiracy theory that it's the electric substation that's causing all of this. And because football, you're going to get injured. I do think that it is strange how many injuries the Niners have year over year over year. It's like they've had maybe one season that they've been relatively healthy over the past half decade. And that was the year they went to the Super Bowl with Purdy. The 2 years that I think they've been pretty healthy, they've actually made it to the Super Bowl both times. But every other year, it's like Nick Bosa goes down with an injury. He's out for the year. Fred Warner, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. It's like every year there's somebody who gets hurt and has to miss a significant portion of the season. I'm not saying I'm buying in on it completely, but I do think that people are going to continue to tie the substation to the injuries as long as they're still practicing right next to it.
I don't buy into conspiracy theories, really, but it is odd how this keeps happening. But, I mean, this sort of similar thing happened with the Titans, where you had that couple-year stretch where they were just riddled with injuries. The Lions on defense over the last couple years, just injuries throughout the roster. I mean, it could boil down to how they exercise, like in the weight room, their strength coach, some of the soft tissue recoveries, like that could play a factor into all this. I'm not buying into the conspiracy, but it definitely is odd.
It's strange just because of how often this happens to the 49ers, where lots of soft tissue injuries, guys missing, you know, three quarters of the season, big time ACL, Achilles injuries, and you do see injuries across the league. Like you mentioned, the Titans had the 2 years in a row where they played the most players in NFL history or whatever it was in 2020 and 2021. And then the Lions last year. Yeah, their defense was decimated by injuries. The Chargers, their offensive line was decimated by injuries. Injuries happen everywhere. It's just been strange how consistent the Niners have been one of the most injured teams across the NFL.
I also am not smart enough to speak on if being next to a substation, I can't explain that to you.
Right.
So I have no idea. They did have scientists, I guess, come out there and like run some tests, and they discovered that nothing that has no relation whatsoever to the injuries. I have no idea whether that's true or not, or how to contradict it. I'm just not buying into it, but it is strange.
Nobody knows anything of whether this is actually something, or as John Lynch said, it's a nothing burger. But I can tell you for certain, if a Titans player gets hurt tomorrow, that's what's going to be blamed, is that they were practicing next to the substation. So We'll talk plenty about the Titans joint practice coming up tomorrow against the 49ers. Preseason game number one coming up on Thursday. We'll also spend a lot of time on the two practices over the weekend, the scrimmage at Nissan Stadium and yesterday's practice where Cam Ward, I think you're starting to see him trend in the right direction. We'll get to that in a second. But Parker, I was in Clarksville on Saturday for the Arena Crown Championship. Did you see the way that this game ended between the Nashville Cats and the Albany Firebirds?
Oh my gosh, it was everywhere. It was even reposted by Barstool. What an incredible end to that game.
I have never seen anything like it in any level of football. I mean, the closest thing that I could come up with was 1 yard short for the Titans in the Super Bowl back in 99 season, 2000 Super Bowl. And this time it worked in the favor of the Nashville team. That's the closest thing I can remember to it. It was a back and forth game the entire way. The Cats actually led 30-8. Albany came all the way back, took the lead. It was going back and forth, tied at 53, and the Cats score with under a minute to go. And a lot of people were upset about the next call made by the Cats. They decided to go with an onside kick. And that, I got it, like why they thought that was the right idea of you can allow them to score, because in arena football, the offense is going to dominate for the most part.
Well, it's a 50-yard field?
Right, it's a 50-yard field, so they gave them the ball at the 9-yard line with 50 seconds left or so, and the Cats had two timeouts. I think you're hoping that there's an incomplete pass. Maybe they score quickly. You get the ball back with a chance to go win it. But they ended up running it three times. The Cats called their timeouts. So there's 3 seconds on the clock. Fourth and goal from, I said the 1 foot line on the air, and I think that's about what it was. You could not have gotten the football much closer to the goal line. And the quarterback for Albany goes over the top. No one will ever know if he actually got the football over the line.
I don't know how he didn't get in. If they were on the 1 foot line.
He got pushed back. So, like, okay. He stretched it, but there wasn't a view, like a replay view right down the line, so you couldn't really tell. And I have no idea how he had the mental, like, wherewithal as he's getting pushed back and falling to the ground, tried to throw it to one of his receivers, and it went right off his fingertips. Incomplete, game over, Cats win. I have never seen anything like it. It was absolute chaos in Clarksville on Saturday.
Think about it. They had two chances in one play to win the game.
Right.
One, you're going over the top, which if you're that close, you kind of have to get in. But at the same time, to land back, throw off a 1 foot, and if you're that receiver, you're beating yourself up,
right?
Because it literally went right off your hands. And it doesn't get much easier than that because there was nobody in your area.
Yeah,
too.
And that was the game. Like, if he caught that, or if Castronova, the quarterback, got the football in, they kicked the extra point, which, not a gimme. The Cats had blocked 2 extra points in the game already, but you kick the extra point and you're the champions. It was an unbelievable game, unbelievable experience, sold-out crowd in Clarksville. Jeff Jarrett, with one of the craziest mid-quarter promotions I've ever seen, they were honoring a longtime fan. I think his name is Eddie McGrew, and 30-year fan of the Cats. They're honoring him. And they have this Albany fan who's, like, getting in the way, and Jeff Jarrett pulls him onto the field and starts wrestling, like, fake punching him. And
oh, that's incredible.
They put him on a table, and Cool Cat, the mascot, climbs up on a ladder and elbow drops on the Albany fan in between the third and fourth quarter.
Do you think that was planned and scripted the whole time?
Oh, 100%. Okay. 100%. I mean, that's
that would have been better if it wasn't.
That's Jeff Jarrett just being a phenomenal promoter and entertainer. I have never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like the ending. For anyone who was up there, that was just a phenomenal day, and the Cats take home the title. They are AF1 crown champions. And you're right, the clip went viral. Barstool posted it. I've seen it posted a lot of places because that was one of the most insane endings to a football game I've ever seen.
Yeah, and they got their get back from last year because this was a rematch.
Right.
So the game last year was in Albany, right?
It was in Albany, yeah, and the Cats lost by 3.
Yeah, it comes to Nashville and they win. Man, that's just a fantastic ending to a football game. And congratulations to the Cats. They got their revenge and their AF1 champs.
And guess what? It was 8-8 was the day, which some Titans fans have affectionately titled Jeff Fisher Day because a lot of 8-8 records for Jeff Fisher. And Jeff Fisher, one of the owners, the commissioner of AF1, gets his championship on Saturday against the Albany Firebirds. It was so cool to be there for that, to be on the call. Me and Nick Frazier, Chase and Big Joe had the call on the TV side. It was a really fun day, and congratulations to the Cats for their championship. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Lots to get to on the show today. It is a Reaction Monday. We're going to react to the two Titans practices over the weekend. Cam Ward, maybe his two best practices of training camp so far. We'll talk about that. Julian Minnesone from News 2 will join us at 9:30 to talk Titans as well. We'll also talk some Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame class inducted over the weekend. The 2027 list of first-year eligible players is really interesting, and I want to get Parker's thoughts and your thoughts as well on who deserves to be in on their first ballot. Going to be a fun show today. 615-737-1025 off and running on this Reaction Monday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. The Cats took home the title on Saturday. We just went through the crazy ending in Clarksville. Nashville Cats get the first professional championship in Nashville history. Do we count it that way?
I feel like we kind of have to.
That's gonna stir
we don't
up.
Really have a choice.
That'll stir up some people. Yeah, I mean, obviously, arena football not the highest level of football.
I mean, we have to at the station.
Yeah, right. Like it's
we're the flagship.
Right, we're the flagship of the Cats.
We kind of have to.
And again, if you were there, that crowd was fantastic, and they were into it. People were celebrating like their team just won the Super Bowl, which, I mean, if you're a diehard Cats fan, I guess it must have felt like that. So it was cool to be up there. Let's talk some Titans here, though, as training camp rolls along. Joint practice tomorrow in Santa Clara with the 49ers, but two practices over the weekend. Parker, you were there for the scrimmage on Friday at Nissan Stadium, and by all accounts, I wanted to go out there when the weather started to get a little bit hairy. I decided against it. I said, you know what? I don't want to go all the way out there and have to turn right back around if there's lightning or something. So I stayed back. But you were out there with Connor Parker. It seems like the big takeaway was that was one of Cam Ward's best practices. Started 16 of 17 throwing the football. Big plays to Carnell Tate. A touchdown to Gunnar Helm. Seemed like he was really dialed in for that scrimmage on Thursday night. Or Friday night.
Okay, so I do want to clarify, because I was not at every single practice last year. But for every practice that I've attended and been there in person to watch, that was the best practice I've ever seen from Cam Ward. He was hitting that back foot, getting the ball out quickly, making the right decision, which the only thing that Sala has emphasized is benchmarks that we want to see from Cam Ward in training camp. Is he making the right decision play in and play out? Brian Daboll has emphasized that as well during his press conferences last week. But Cam Ward was doing that. And he was on time, hitting that back foot, getting the ball out, seeing the field. One thing that I was really proud of Cam Ward, he was hitting his checkdowns. And those checkdowns often turned into big gains. Like he hit Tajay Spears. I think he hit Michael Carter on a play. And they ended up going for like 20 yards. And that he made it all the way through his progressions, hit his check down, and instead of, you know, just picking up the first down, they got the first down and more. So that's what happens when you're making the right decisions. Was really proud of Cam Ward. There were a couple things that I would have tweaked, you know, if we were watching film together. But other than that, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, and yesterday it seems like the big takeaways were that he had another strong practice, hit Carnell Tate for 3 touchdowns early in the day. And that connection seems to be heating up like you hoped it would. Tate and Ward, you saw big plays yesterday in practice. And then, of course, Friday, the one-handed grab from Carnell Tate was just absolutely sensational. Over the middle, maybe not the most accurate throw from Cam Ward, but gave his guy a chance. And Carnell Tate, you saw the ability, the size of his hands, just to snatch that one on the run and keep on moving.
I just don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out with Cam Ward, because he's still so early on in his career. Is Cam Ward a precision passer, or is he more of a gunslinger? I tend to think that he's more of a gunslinger right now because that pass was off target, but Carnell Tate bailed him out and made an incredible catch. So Cam Moore did have a lot of accurate moments. I mean, you don't start 16 of 17 and not be accurate with the football, but I was standing right there when that Carnell Tate play happened, and I kid you not, my mouth was on the field, and I turn around, and everybody else has the same reaction, and we're like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
Because Ohio State receivers tend to work out in the NFL regardless of who you are, where you get drafted. He was great on that first drive. I think he had two catches. He picked up a first down on his first catch, then had the one-hander. I mean, he was making a lot of plays, and he's really starting to come on, especially this last week.
Yeah, and yesterday the Titans posted the couple of touchdowns that he had. Cam Ward hit him over top of Alante Taylor for the first one. The second one against Marcus Harris was really impressive, the way he fought through contact to get to that football. Like, Harris jammed him at the line. There was hand fighting back and forth, but Tate stayed physical and made sure he got to the spot where Cam Ward was throwing it to and went up and made a great catch. Carnell Tate, I think the consensus from a lot of people, not just locally but nationally, was maybe he's not a top five guy. But there's a reason we're not the ones making the decisions. And I think, at least right now, before he's played a single game, you look back and you say, all right, maybe we were missing something off what he did at Ohio State. Because a lot of people looked at it and said, well, Jeremiah Smith is the number one. He's the number two. How can you be a top five pick? And that's probably not the best argument that we could have made against Carnell Tate. And seeing him in practice so far, the big plays that he had, the long touchdown back on Tuesday, the one-handed grab on Friday, the three touchdowns yesterday, Carnell Tate looks like he's going to be a real playmaker for this team, even as a rookie.
Absolutely. I was one of those guys. I'm like, yeah, I'd absolutely take him in the top 10. Top four?
It felt high.
Yeah, that did feel high. Everything that comes in his vicinity, though, when the football's in the air, he just comes down with. That's the best way to describe it. Even if it's a contested catch, even if there's a guy like Alante Taylor, like a Cordell Flott, or Marcus Harris even, draped all over him, if that ball is within arm-length reach of Carnell Tate, he will come down with the football. And that's the thing that's been so impressive to me watching him.
Yeah, and you know, you got to see it in games. He's got to actually produce when the lights come on and you're playing real football in September, October, and beyond. But in terms of first impression, second impression throughout offseason work and into training camp, Carnell Tate has passed a lot of tests with flying colors so far. Cam Ward, we talked about it leading up to training camp, about the offseason work. You saw progression, but it wasn't quite as good as you hoped it would be. I think the good news that you'll see so far, and just like I said with Tate, it's still just practice. You've got to see him do it in the real games and show that progression when you get to the regular season. But we talked about in training camp, you want to see progression from him. You want to see growth day by day, practice by practice. And I think really since the pads have come on, these five practices that we've gotten to see, you've seen it. Every day, it's been a little bit better. He had the interceptions on Monday, was able to take care of the football. I don't believe he's turned the football over since then.
Well, yeah, I don't think he had any turnovers yesterday. Definitely didn't have any turnovers on Friday.
Right. Tuesday, he had – it was kind of an up-and-down day Tuesday, but he had the big play to Carnell Tate. Thursday, he had a big day in the red zone with a few touchdowns through the air, one on the ground. Friday, you said, maybe the best practice that you've seen from Cam Ward in his 2 years with the Titans. And then yesterday, hitting Carnell Tate for three touchdowns, seemed like he was sharp from start to finish. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be a superstar this year, but – I do think it's good to see exactly what we talked about. Day by day, you're seeing him look more comfortable. He's playing faster, and you hope that that continues through the preseason. And then when the Jets roll in on September 13th, he's really feeling like he's clicking and in a good spot with this Brian Daboll system.
And there was a bad taste in everybody's mouth with the way OTAs and with the way minicamp went, with Cam Ward missing a lot of the deep passes, missing some layups. Now, he's missed some layups. He's missed some deep balls once training camp has started, but he had the long touchdown to Carnell Tate that was like 65 yards. I think that was on Tuesday with the pads on.
Yep.
Had a fantastic practice during the blue and white scrimmage on Friday. Had a great practice yesterday. So there's momentum building for Cam Ward. Now you get to go play against San Francisco's defense injured, but still really good defense. You get Seattle the week after that, and you get the Bears. So you get to play against three really good defenses, so that'll be a good litmus test about where you are.
Yeah, and as we've talked about, we've seen growth throughout these practices against his own team. Now you really get to those benchmarks, those tests. All right, 49ers tomorrow in a joint practice. Can you continue to look sharp and make the right decisions? I think something that really has stood out to me with Cam Ward is he is more willing to run the football. And again, with Brian Daboll, he has a lot of running quarterbacks that you've looked through. Josh Allen ran the football a lot of designed runs. Even Daniel Jones became a lot more of a runner once Brian Daboll showed up. Jackson Dart ran the football a lot. I don't think Cam Ward's going to be that kind of player where they're drawing up QB power for Cam Ward and just letting him run the football 15 times a game. But being a more willing runner is something we've talked about a ton on this show. And I think since Monday, when he was rolling out and tried to make a play back over the middle of the field and throw the pick, I think maybe that was the wake-up call, as Brian Daboll said, lesson learned of sometimes I've just got to take what I can get and live to see another play. And a lot of that is just, hey, if there's nothing downfield or if you feel like you're putting the ball in harm's way, if you try and make a play on the run, just take what you can get. And I think we've seen that from Cam Ward over the last few practices, is he's been more willing to just tuck it and run and take whatever's available to him.
When Brian Daboll talks about we're in charge, and when he says we, he's talking about the quarterback room, we're in charge of making the right decisions. To me, if it's 3rd and 5 and you're outside the pocket and there's nothing really open downfield, taking off and getting the first down, that would be a right decision. That's a positive because you're living to fight another play, but you pick up the first down and then you allow Daboll to dial up something else rather than trying to force it. Well, drive's over, now here comes the punt unit. That's what I consider to be more of a willing runner, because Cam, you're not going to design a lot of plays for him to run the football. You may design a couple here and there, but he's athletic enough. He did this on Friday where he got outside the pocket. There was nothing open. He took off and was actually, I thought a case could be made that he scored, but that they ruled him a little bit short. That's what, you know, is a positive example of being a willing runner, taking what the defense gives you, even if it is with your legs, making a positive.
Right. And I think you're starting to see just the Cam Ward, you don't want to take the gunslinger out of him, but I do think that he's starting to realize when and where he has to pick his moments. And that's been good. Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, they were the stars of the weekend. And I got to say, that's kind of what we've been waiting for, right, Parker? Like, Justin from Greenbrier says on the text line, I heard Robbie say he wants Cam to go out and dominate a few practices and kind of live up to his draft pick. It sounds like he answered the challenge. I agree. With Tate and Ward, with where you took those guys in the draft, you do want to have some of those practices where you're like, man, that connection was virtually unstoppable. And it seems like Friday and yesterday specifically, that was the case, and Cam Ward and Carnell Tate really were starting to click. It's good to see, again, still early, still in the first half of training camp. You got over a month until the first regular season game, but I think this was a really, really important weekend for Cam Ward, taking a step forward, and now you've got to continue that into the joint practices.
Absolutely, and there is momentum for him, and he has reliable targets. I thought Wandell Robinson, which we've talked about for a while, was the safety blanket for him on Friday. Definitely got the most receptions, was always there in a pinch. And now you have Carnell Tate, where if you just give the guy a chance down the field, more than likely he's going to come up with the catch.
Right.
So you have options. Gunnar Helm, I thought, was great during the scrimmage.
That was an unbelievable catch in the back of the end zone.
Alec Amander's really been coming on as well. He's been the training camp darling so far. Calvin Ridley wasn't as present. I mean, he made a couple catches, but wasn't a huge part of the offense catching the football wise. But I mean, these younger receivers, they look up to guys like Calvin Ridley. So if nothing else, that's a really huge impact, even if it's off the field. But there is momentum for this offense moving into joint practice week.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Matthew in Nashville asks, are we worried about the substation affecting Titans players? We talked about this to lead off the show a little bit. He says Big Joe and Frazier seem to have a little concern. I'm not concerned about it, but as we said, we do know that if there is an injury, that's what's going to be talked about nonstop. So fingers crossed that tomorrow that everybody stays healthy during the joint practice. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Julian Minnesone from News 2 going to join us. We'll talk Titans with Julian, everything that he saw at practice yesterday, and much more. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Titans training camp in full swing tomorrow. Joint practice in Santa Clara with the 49ers. And to help us cover the Titans, we now go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we're joined by Julian Minnesone from News 2. Julian, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. How's it going this morning?
Great. You know, Corey is going to be out in Santa Clara doing the game. He's doing sideline for the game on News 2. And that means I get to have the office to myself this week. So that's pretty awesome.
Some peace and quiet for you with Corey out. We feel the same way about Wednesday.
I can imagine.
Julian, you've been out there at Titans practice these past two, the stadium scrimmage on Friday and Sunday. We were just talking about it. Feels like Cam Ward and Carnell Tate, that connection really started to heat up. How have you seen their chemistry, their relationship develop through these first couple of weeks of training camp?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been the thing that everybody's kind of talking about, right? And individually for each of those guys, I mean, number one, I think Cam has really taken command, particularly over these last couple of days. I always go back to using the antidote of I have a buddy named Miles, good college buddy of mine, and he does not know a lick of sports, and that's okay. Like not everybody in the world is us, right? Not everybody follows sports as closely as we do. But if I took Miles to practice, would he be able to tell who the starting quarterback is going to be, right? Would he be able to pick the guys in the three red jerseys out of the bunch and say, hey, that guy looks like the leader of the team? And I think, to his credit, he'd be able to on this Titans team. Not that it was ever a competition to begin with, like this was Cam Ward's job, right? Like Mitch Trubisky and Will Levis were fighting for that backup role. But I think that's kind of the gap that's there with what we've seen Cam progressing through camp. The way he's commanded the team has been really, really good. His decision-making has gotten a lot better and quicker over the last couple of weeks here in camp. And I think even though it was never really a competition, the fact that he looks the part and he's starting to look the part, I think that's a good thing if you're a Titans fan. As for Carnell Tate, I mean, what can you say? I mean, that guy has been as good as advertised. I mean, of course, the one-handed catch, I heard you guys talking about it from Friday night. That was probably got the biggest oohs and ahs of the night. And then he had the multiple touchdowns in practice we were watching yesterday. But I think the big thing with him is, you know, I was sitting in the draft room in Pittsburgh when he was taken, and, you know, it got the biggest gasp probably of the night. And, you know, full disclosure, Corey and I were talking to a number of prospects that week, and we didn't even talk to Carnell Tate that much because we were so set on it's going to be Jeremiah Love or it's going to be one of the edge guys. And now we're seeing why we don't get paid to make those decisions. And so, you know, he has looked the part, and I think the biggest thing when it comes to Carnell is you can look the part, but the fact that in 2 weeks of camp there's been no drop-off. And the fact in the matter of these 2 weeks, they're of a demanding training camp schedule. He has looked the part and has really actually gotten better and ascended rather than maybe hitting a rookie wall a day or so. And so I think the connection between them is growing, and I think it's a good sign that it seems like you have your quarterback, at least early signs, and you have your guy who's looking like going to be that number one receiver.
Right. A big weekend for those guys. Stadium scrimmage. And then, of course, three touchdowns for Tate yesterday. Sticking with the offense, Julian, a lot of eyes have gone to the interior of the offensive line, the competitions at center and right guard. Have you been able to glean anything from practice on what that might look like, especially at right guard, where it seems like it's not just Cordell Volson, Jackson Slater, but maybe Fernando Carmona also could be considered there?
Yeah, you know, and I'll say this. From a big picture perspective, I think, especially over the last couple of days where the offense has looked good, the offensive line, I think, has performed pretty serviceably, like relative to what our expectations were. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I could sit up here and say, like, I thought that offensive line this year was going to be a papier-mâché project, right? Like, you know, a papier-mâché project in school where you get a bunch of pieces of paper together and throw it together and you hope it's something beautiful. Well, like, I think they have outperformed what we thought they were going to be. Now, it's easy to say that when you're facing the same guys in practice and your teammates every single day. But, you know, Jermaine Johnson, on the edge guy, said going into the padded practices that the offensive line isn't going to know what hit him. And I think over this past week, you wanted to see how that offensive line was going to respond to a defensive line that's pretty much, you know, without a doubt, the best position group on the squad. And so I think that has been showing up this week. You know, obviously the offenses look good, the running game has looked good, but from the starting five perspective, I would say that at least how it looks to me right now, that four of the five spots are solidified. I think Austin Schlotman, you know, I think he's been pretty solid at center so far, at least in camp. I think, you know, they're getting a fair shake at right guard. The three guys you mentioned, Fernando Carmona, Cordell Volson, and Jackson Slater. I would agree with the unofficial depth chart right now that Volson, because he's got the experience, is listed as the starter. I don't fight that. But, hey, I really like what I saw from Fernando Carmona in practice yesterday. He got into it with Alante Taylor one time. He got into it with Jeff Simmons one time. And, you know, the scouting report on Carmona coming in after the Titans drafted him was he's got a little bit of a mean streak about him. And, you know, you obviously don't want the extracurricular stuff like maybe he had in college. But what has this offensive line been missing over the last couple of years? A level of nastiness. Like, you want a guy that when the defensive lineman is chirping at your quarterback, you want a guy to step in and say, no, 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 you're dealing with me. Kind of like a bodyguard, an enforcer in a way. I think an offensive line could use somebody like that. On top of the fact that Carmona shaved his head and now he looks like he is about to raid Troy with Odysseus as well. Like, he looks the part too. So I've been impressed with Carmona yesterday. And look, if whoever wins the job out of those three guys, you can't say everybody didn't get a shot because they're letting everybody have a turn at that spot right now.
Hey, Julian, really appreciate the Odyssey reference there. But Jake and I have been, for the last month, consistently bashing this offensive line, not understanding why the front office didn't feel the need to address the offensive line more. But like you said, throughout practice, haven't really noticed them getting their lunch eaten, which is actually a good thing. And they've been able to hold their own. But at the same time, too, against this defensive line rotation, it's either you die or you learn to adapt and you hold up your own. Do you think the momentum that they have right now on the offensive side of the ball will carry over into joint practices, not just with the San Francisco 49ers, but with the Seahawks, Bears, and so forth?
You know, I do. I think, obviously, this is going to be the first big test of the Robert Saleh Titans. It's easy to look good against your teammates, right? Like, you know what's coming. You know the other players' tendencies. You know the playbook. It's easy to be impressive against your own guys. Well, now you're going to be facing a stretch of three different teams, as you mentioned, three different teams that are also Super Bowl contenders, right? Three different teams who really just get after it in practice. And, you know, it's going to be a huge test for this team. I will say, with as impressive as the offensive line, at least the starting five and then the guys who have rotated right guard have been, the one area that I will have some concern about, of course, with this offensive line is the depth. I think that's, if there's a lot of guys who have raised their stock in practice, the one area where I say maybe would be, instead of a tighten up, a tighten down, would be probably those swing tackle spots. You know, I think that was the big hubbub on Twitter with Titans fans when J.C. Latham started training camp on the PUP list, or Dan Moore went out for a short amount of time. It wasn't necessarily, hey, those guys are out, but who do we have behind those guys? Whether it be Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, who's been kind of hanging on to this roster, Austin Deculus, who was signed this offseason, who didn't have the strongest year last year. And so I think the starting five and then the rotation at right guard has looked solid. I want to know what that depth looks like against another team. And I think we're going to get that answer here soon on Tuesday when they start those joint practices in Santa Clara.
Have you been as impressed as I have been with Robert Saleh's leadership? Because kicking Jeffrey Simmons out of practice on Tuesday, it set the tone. It made a statement. Brian Callahan had several opportunities during his 1.5 seasons as the head coach to kick Jeffrey Simmons out of practice and make a statement. He never did, but Sala has done it right from the get-go, and we have no idea how the Sala era is going to ultimately work out. But have you at least been impressed by the culture that he's trying to set and the leadership that he's displayed on the practice field?
Well, Parker, I could say this, like, yes, from a standpoint of it feels different. I hate to cop out and say that answer, but it just feels like, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the last regime, but it just feels like more professionally run, right? It feels like a football team that is ready to turn things around and compete. And I think with him setting the tone with throwing Jeff out, I think that's what you want. Like, nobody is bigger than the team, no matter what antics, no matter what pelts you have on the wall and what money you are making. We are all part of this team, you know, and I think that really set the tone, especially at the start of padded practices where tempers flare and you guys are, you know, guys are hitting each other for the first time. And I think he put those to bed and said, hey, like, there's going to be some instigation in practice. Like, guys are going to be chirping at each other. Guys are going to be hitting each other and trying to get reactions out of others. But you toe that line of aggression. And I think that really, really set the tone. And it just feels more organized out there. And look, Robert Saleh coming in, like, he is, it feels like he is almost like an army general, an army sergeant, not from a standpoint of yelling, but just of a standpoint of, hey, I have command of this team. I'm going to run it the way I want to. And everybody is going to fall in line, but also buy into the mantra of trying to turn this thing around.
Last one for you, Julian. We've talked a lot about the offensive side of the ball. Who are a few players on the defensive side who've stood out to you through the first few weeks of training camp?
Ooh, good question. Can I cop out and say Jeffrey Simmons? No, I'm kidding. Well, obviously, you know, if I were a fan and I'm sitting anywhere at practice, I go straight to the defensive line. Like, that is a real treat to watch. And it's not just Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers, but it seems like everybody on that defensive front, the way they practice, the intensity of which they play. I think it's, you know, certainly a sight to see. I think there have been guys that have stepped up. I think that maybe we kind of forgot about in the mix, you know, Jacob Martin, I think has been pretty solid for a guy that's kind of been a journeyman throughout his career. And I really enjoyed hearing from him at the podium this past week. And I think, you know, when we talk about those edge positions, going back to the draft, I think everybody was so fixated on, hey, the Titans are going to get somebody like, you know, Arvel Reese or Reuben Bain or David Bailey, one of these big pass rushers. But now you see with the strength of the interior that they have with JFM and Jeff, the edge guys, I think, are more than serviceable to make a real impact on this team. And so I would go, you know, Jacob Martin and Jermaine Johnson. I also really like the addition of Cordell Flott. You know, I think obviously Alante Taylor is your CB1, but I think Flott plays a lot longer than he portrays. Well, Taylor is kind of the more physical guy. Now, time will tell if they will be the best cornerback duo in the league, like Alante mentioned, but I think especially where that cornerback position has been over the last couple of years, specifically last year when they were just depleted with injuries, and, you know, there's the Legarius Sneed experience that Titans fans probably have some PTSD over. Like, I think that just the fact that you have two solid guys there, I think the bar was low, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Julian, going to be a fun week. Joint practice, first preseason game. We appreciate you coming on. Great insights, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, fellas, anytime.
Julian Mininsohn from News 2 talking Titans with us here on the program. We'll react to what Julian had to say and wrap up hour number one after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Keep up with training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as we get you prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Permanent Energy, and the Music City Kickoff Game. Big thanks to Julian Mininsohn for joining us in the last segment talking Titans as we are about 2 weeks into training camp now. Parker, we talked about the offensive line competition, and I did think it was interesting that Fernando Carmona getting some earlier reps yesterday at practice. And we've heard Robert Saleh say that just because somebody gets first-team reps doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a starter They just like to see, can this guy who's been playing well with the twos or the threes hold up against the ones? And so it adds a little more of a wrinkle to this right guard competition. But I agree with what Julian said. It seems like Austin Schlotman is the center. He's the guy in the middle of that line. We'll see how it goes. Right guard is the one that really is a toss-up at this point.
And Peter Skoronski was asked about this after the scrimmage on Friday. Has Austin Schlotman kind of sped up the learning curve for everybody on the offensive line? And he said, oh, definitely, because he played in this system, even if he wasn't the starter for the full year, had starts here and there. He knows the offense because he's been in the system, so he can kind of teach it to everybody else. And the center, left tackle is the most important position because he's protecting the blind side of the quarterback, but the center is the guy that's telling everybody what to do, where to go, and that sort of thing, calling protection. So having a guy that at least is cerebral like that and has been in the system should not be an undervalued commodity. It's just, will he be able to we haven't been talking about the offensive line a whole lot the last week in terms of, oh, they look terrible in practice. So as long as they can keep it up, then they'll be a serviceable unit.
Yeah, and that's what we've said the last 2 weeks, is we set a very low bar for this offensive line because you look at it, again, that just in terms of investment this offseason, there wasn't any. You brought in a backup from the Giants to start at center, and you brought in a guy who was injured all of last year to possibly be your starting right guard, and then you took two guys on day three. That's basically all the investment you did in your offensive line this year. So the bar was low, but I will say they've exceeded expectations so far. I have not been watching practice when I've been out there and saying, man, this offensive line is just completely overmatched by the defensive front, which is what I would have expected. So Schlotman, I'm not sure I believe in him to be a quality starting center, but clearly the Titans believe that he can be that guy for them, and I think you can pretty much pencil him in and say he's going to be your week one starting center. Right guard, I agree with Julian. I think it's going to be Volson, or at least I think Volson is going to get the first crack at it when the first team offense is out there against the 49ers on Thursday night. I would guess it's going to be Volson. But I do think that you would hope, and we've said this before, I think the Titans are hoping one of those young guys does claim it at some point, because it helps you a lot more to have Carmona or Slater step in and solidify the right guard spot for at least a couple more years, rather than Volson, who's probably a one-year guy, and unless he just completely flips on a switch and turns into a great player this year. I think he's kind of your Band-Aid, and you're hoping that Slater or Carmona can eventually step into that role and be the guy. Who knows if that happens during training camp or during the preseason, but I think at some point that's what the Titans are hoping for, is that the young guys really claim that spot.
Yeah, Volson is going to be the starter at least to begin the regular season, unless something happens, unfortunately. But this Carmona-Jackson-Slater discussion is really interesting. You're going to want to work Carmona in because you spent a draft pick on him, and he was ultimately drafted by Borgonzi in this regime. Slater was still in the Carthon regime, but these are two guys that basically play the same position, right? They're interchangeable on that interior offensive line, left guard or right guard, but Jackson Slater has yet to take that job by the throat, and I know that he came from Sac State, so there's maybe a little bit more of an acclimation period for him versus Fernando Carmona. You're going up against the best of the best week in and week out in the SEC, but still, you would think that Jackson Slater would have the edge given that he's been on the team the last 2 years.
Yeah, Slater, I think, was somebody that they expected to take a step this year. And again, you can't judge too much into what they're doing. I think it's training camp and they're just seeing what works. And you're kind of rotating these guys and just seeing if anything clicks. But Carmona getting more opportunities maybe shows you that Slater hasn't lived up to what they expected him to do heading into year two. So the offensive line, still going to be a question mark no matter what. I mentioned it last week, Parker. You remember the Bucs game, the preseason game, week one last year? When the first team offense went out there and Cam Ward had forever to throw. Like, pocket was clean, and we're sitting there like, man, we didn't think this offensive line was going to be all that good, but they really held up. Maybe things are looking up for this group. And then week one of the season hits and Cam Ward gets sacked, what, 6 times against the Broncos?
Yeah.
You can't make any judgments on what this offensive line is going to be or what it's not going to be until the season actually begins. I don't think we can get ahead of ourselves, even if this if they look good in the joint practice or they look good in the preseason game. You got to see it in real game action. But so far, it's been a good start for the offensive line, considering what the expectations were.
Preseason results mean basically nothing. You remember the year the Titans went undefeated in the preseason, then what'd they do in the regular season?
Yeah. That was, what, 2 years ago? Callahan's first year, they won all 3 games?
Willis was still here, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So it was the year Willis had the 2 touchdowns against the Saints.
Yes.
I think they won all three games that year. Yeah, you're right. And then went 3-0. They had just as many preseason wins as they had regular season wins.
And it's one thing when you're going up against your teammates every single week in practice, and the offensive line has surprised a little bit. But what will it look like in the preseason and then once you get to the regular season? Because preseason, it's true that a lot of your starters, if they play at all, they're not playing long.
Yeah.
So you're going to be going up against backups. What does that look like once you get to the regular season? You know, week one, you're playing the Jets. Week two, you're playing the Eagles and that defensive line rotation. What does it look like then?
Yeah, right. I think that's those first two games, like the Jets, you don't have Quinnen Williams anymore, but that's still a solid defensive front. Maybe you're facing Big Meatloaf, Tavondre Sweat. And then the Eagles, of course, one of the better defensive lines that the Titans are going to see. Those will be two big tests early to see. And the Giants in week three, I mean, look at all the young talent they've got on the defensive front. Brian Burns, Arvell Reese, Kayvon Thibodeau's still there, Abdul Carter. Like, that's going to be a big test for the Titans offensive line as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Coming up next, hour number two, Peter Skoronski got paid on Friday. We will talk about that extension. We'll also get into some of the kicker issues that possibly could be plaguing the Titans. Does Joey Sly need to be replaced? We'll get into all of it coming up in the second hour. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.